Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Beam me up, Scotty.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. I wish they'd hurry up and figure out how to teleport people, because flying has gotten so maddening. Sitting on airplanes for hours, standing in ridiculously long lines, losing your luggage. Well, today, Congress gets involved. The Senate holds a hearing on things the government might do to improve airline service. Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
One bill under consideration would give passengers the right to leave a plane once they'd been stuck there for 3 hours. Joe Brancatelli is publisher of business travel website JoeSentMe.com. He says such laws would ultimately prove useless because airlines would wriggle out of compliance through safety loopholes. Still, he says there's plenty legislators could do.
How about we start with something really simple? You will not be allowed to fly more flights into and out of an airport than an airport can handle. Right now, this country is overscheduled by 20 or 25%.
Add bad weather to that glut of arrivals and departures, and you've got major service problems. Meanwhile, Brancatelli says new laws aren't going to stave off a bad summer. The number of flyers will be back to pre-9/11 levels, but he says because of layoffs, there are now 100,000 fewer airline staff to help them out. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
On Wall Street, what goes down usually comes back up. Most of the losses from late February are a distant memory now. Yesterday, the Dow gained 4 points to 12,573. The Dow's on an 8-day winning streak, its longest in 4 years. The NASDAQ put on 8 to 2477. The S&P 500 added 3 points to 1448. The Asian and European markets were pretty flat today. A report today from Greenpeace says huge tracts of rainforests have been sold to logging companies for virtually nothing. Our correspondent Stephen Beard has been looking at the report. Stephen, tell us more about it.
Greenpeace says that some 20 logging companies, European and American, have gained access to a huge area of rainforest in the Democratic Republic of Congo, about the size of the UK. And Greenpeace says that if these companies go ahead and fell that area of rainforest, it could have huge climatic repercussions. It could add something like 34 billion tons of carbon dioxide to the atmosphere. That's the amount of carbon that would not be absorbed if these trees were felled.
And how did the companies get the land?
Greenpeace alleges that many of the contracts were illegally allocated in 2002 by a transition government that was, it's claimed, corrupt. These contracts were allocated in defiance of a World Bank moratorium on logging. And some aspects of the deal certainly have raised a few eyebrows. Greenpeace says that the companies have gained permission to get access by agreements with village chiefs offering bags of salt, machetes and bicycles.
So what are the companies after? What are they trying to get from the land?
Primarily African teak, which is a pretty valuable commodity. It sells for more than $1,000 a cubic yard here in Europe. It's used for flooring, furniture and doors.
So how are the companies interpreting this?
The companies are represented by a trade association. In a statement, the trade association says many of these criticisms are valid and we need to reevaluate some of these agreements.
Okay, Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
The New York Attorney General says he may file criminal charges in this student loan scandal. The allegations are that some lenders have been paying school loan officers if they steer students to their loan company. And a Department of Education official has been put on leave. Turns out he owns stock in one of these lending companies. Commentator Robert Reich believes the whole system of student loans needs an overhaul.
The federal government subsidizes college loans in two different ways, giving colleges and universities the option of which way to go. The first way is for the federal government to lend students the money directly. Students get a good deal because the government, being the government, can raise funds at a lower interest rate than banks or other private lenders. The alternative is for the federal government to subsidize student loans indirectly by guaranteeing banks and other private lenders that if a student doesn't repay the loan, the government will. The government also gives banks and private lenders additional subsidies to ensure they get a profitable return on any student loan they make. Obviously, the second alternative is a great deal for the banks and other lenders. Hey, a guaranteed return on a no-risk loan? But it's a lousy deal for American taxpayers. According to a study by the Center for American Progress, taxpayers pay about $7 more for every $100 lent by the private lenders than they do on direct government loans. That amounts to billions of taxpayer dollars each year. Billions that could be saved if the direct loan program was the only program. Billions of savings that could be put, for example, into Pell Grants for needy students. So here's the multi-billion dollar question. Why does the federal government continue to provide colleges and universities the option of going with a more expensive program when the government can offer direct loans more cheaply? Why is it that some 15 years after the direct student loan program was first established, more than three-quarters of student loans still come through the more expensive system? Let me hazard a guess. The banks and other private lenders have enormous political clout in Washington. They also have clout within colleges and universities. This is the real scandal of student loans, and it's got to stop. There's no good reason for the federal government to waste taxpayer money by subsidizing banks and other private lenders when government direct loans are cheaper.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. He was labor secretary under President Clinton. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.